Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher.
"And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto you to the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine." Hi, my name is Carl Trimboli, and I'm here this afternoon to help go through the Scriptures here and maybe instruct a little bit on divisions in the Bible. The main thing is here I've got a Bible, and if I've just gone to the Bible to try and find out exactly what it has to say to me, it's very difficult just to go here and find what does God want me to do. There's a lot of instructions here for a lot of different people that covers a lot of different time spans. And where exactly should I go to find out my instructions for today? And that's what we'll do today. In brief, we're going to take some divisions in the Bible. The first thing we'll do today is we'll go into the part of the Bible that's called the Old Testament or the Old Covenant. And then we'll take a segment of the Bible that's called the New Testament. And then we'll look at a part of the Bible that's called the Mystery. So what we'll see as we go through these is your Bible is not only divided up into two segments called the Old Testament and the New Testament, but it's also divided up into two segments called prophecy and mystery. And I'll explain those as we go through. The first thing we want to see is the Old Testament. Who was it written to? Why was it written to them? And what did God expect those people in the Old Testament under that old jurisdiction of the Old Covenant? What did He want them to do? And if you have a Bible, turn, first of all, to Exodus chapter 3. And we'll start reading back there. Before we do anything else, we have to understand who is speaking, why he's speaking to the people, who's telling him to speak, and what are the instructions to do, and are those instructions carried through for us today? Exodus chapter 3, we're going to find out a little bit about Moses, just briefly. And it says in verse 1, it says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." Here, they're traveling through the wilderness. This is the nation of Israel, and this is Moses who is leading the nation of Israel from captivity through the wilderness. It says in verse 13 of chapter 3, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel..." Now, this is important. When he shows them who he's going to go speak to, he said, "to the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you." Now that's pretty clear. He's sending Moses unto the nation of Israel, and they're all Jewish people, of course. It says, "The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you." So God, Moses is talking with God. And God tells Moses, you go to the children of Israel. during this time, there are other nations. They're called the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and many more. There's seven nations, basically. But what God is telling Moses is not telling him to go to those nations. He's telling him to go to the nation of Israel specifically. And when you do, tell him, the God of your fathers, I am sending you, Moses, to the nation of Israel. So he has confirmation from God, and he is instructed to go to Israel. In chapter 19 of Exodus, first we saw Moses in chapter 3 that he was of the nation of Israel, sent to the nation of Israel. In Exodus chapter 19, in verse 3, it says, "And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel." He's still instructing Moses to go to the nation of Israel. "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore," listen now, it says, "if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for the earth is mine." What I'm going to do now is I'm going to start doing something on the board that will help us illustrate what we have. First, I'm going to draw a line here that will represent time. And that's not straight, but that's okay. What we have here is called the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, and I'll abbreviate it that way. And we saw Moses was sent with the Old Covenant or the Old Testament to the nation of Israel. Okay. There we go. To the nation of Israel. And he sent him specifically to that nation. Now, as this Old Testament unfolds, we're going to see some things that God instructed Moses to tell the nation of Israel. It says in chapter 20, Exodus 20, in verse 1, it says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above and earth beneath, nor that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down themselves," and so on. It goes over here to verse 13. It says, "Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor," and so on. It comes down now to verse 18 and says, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off." Here, God has instructed Moses to tell the children of Israel something. And what he's done here, he's gone up to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. And that's where the Ten Commandments are found in Exodus chapter 20. Everyone has found these Ten Commandments or read the Ten Commandments or heard of the Ten Commandments. And this is where God gives them to Moses. He's a Jew commanded to go to the nation of Israel. And this is under the Old Testament jurisdiction, we'll call it. And that's where they're found. And as soon as he proclaims this, there's thunderings and lightnings from the mountain where God spoke to Moses. And the people said this, "And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, unless we die." There was a great fear back in those days of God because they saw his terror face to face, and they didn't want anything to do with a closeness with God. They had to stand afar off, and Moses had to be the intercessor or the go-between God and the people. So this is the nation of Israel receiving these Ten Commandments, and there are many more commandments, and we'll look at a few just to see what God spoke to these people. But down here now a little bit further, it said in verse 20, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, and that you sin not." What God did, if we go up to the board again, what God did is he gave the nation of Israel, back in the Old Testament days, he gave them something called the law. And that encompasses the Ten Commandments and many other commandments. But when the Bible talks about the law, or the law of Moses, this is what it's talking about back in this day here, when they came out of the land of Egypt and when they proceeded through the land of Egypt and even past that. The law in the scriptures here, it says, it shows what sin is. The law never helped people But it showed people that this was sin. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Honor thy father and thy mother. And whatever else was written in those. I can't say them all. I haven't memorized them. But this is what they had in that economy, in that time. They had to remain in bondage under this law. They had to do these things that God commanded under the law. He said, and then you'll be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the nations of the earth. Now, I have to explain something here. The other nations of the earth, let's take Israel. I'm going to put a line up here, and I'm going to make this the nation of Israel. And I'm going to take a line down here and make this the nations or the Gentiles. Let's do this. Gentiles, and then we'll have Israel here on this line up here. Down here we had the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and all these other nations down here. When you hear nations with a plural, when it's plural, it's talking about the Gentiles in the Scripture. When you see it written as nation, N-A-T-I, I never won any spelling contests, but that's okay. The nation of Israel, when it's singular, it's speaking to the Jews, the nation of Israel. And what happens is he says, you will be a peculiar treasure. Israel will be a peculiar treasure above the rest of the nations of the world. And there were other nations in the world. God was concerned with this nation, Israel, when he speaks in your Old Testament. And if I can do this here, the Old Testament, and it covers most of your scriptures. I might not get it exactly right here. But for the most part, the Old Testament itself would encompass this much, which camera's on here. It will encompass this much of your scriptures. Now, what happens is we're going to go to another segment called the New Testament pretty soon, and I'll show you the rest of that too. But for the most part of your Bible, it's written to the Jew, to the nation of Israel, and it has instructions to them. This Bible study is for understanding. There's a verse in 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what we're doing here today. We're not here to confuse you. We're here to help break down some of that confusion. Because if something was written to someone years ago, why did God write it? What was the reason that he wrote it down for these people to follow? And should we follow that today? So these things are critical. There are many teachers and many institutions that would go back here to find their doctrine and their way of living when these things were written and instructed to people many years ago. I want to say something else before we go any further. There are things in your Bible that we can call vertical truths, and there are things in your Bible that are called horizontal truths. These will help you understand what instructions you're to follow today. If this is a timeline, like we said, there are truths that follow all the way from the book of Genesis all the way on through to the book of Revelation and eternity future. There are truths about God. God is holy. God is just. All men are sinners. All men need redemption. You know what that is? That's a truth that will follow on from beginning to end. A vertical truth, did I say horizontal truth? I hope so, because that's horizontal and this is vertical. There's a vertical truth that talks to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, back here. There was a vertical truth back there that he says, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the garden, the specific tree. That was instruction to Adam. Noah, if we put him in here, had instructions on how to build a boat. And Abraham over here was given a covenant of promise, and he was given the token of a circumcision to confirm those promises. That was Abraham there. King David had some truths to go out, and he was a warrior. There were certain things that each one of these guys had to do, but he didn't do what Noah did, and Noah didn't do what Abraham did. But what happened was, is there are truths that don't carry on. Here's a truth here, and truth. But you know what? It will only go so far, and then God starts doing something different. And then God come to John the Baptist over here, and he said, now proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's something different. They weren't doing that back over here, but now it's at hand. And then finally, Jesus Christ came and died on the cross. And then a lot of this other stuff we'll see in our study falls down by the wayside. It's not needed anymore. So we have truths that interrupt a horizontal truth with vertical truth. It's true and it's right because God said it. And I won't change a word of it or one of the commas or the periods in my Bible. But what happens is that truth is only true for the extended time that God wants it to be true. And then if he starts doing something different. What about in the time of the Jewish program, they had, under Israel's program, they had to eat certain things. There were certain things they couldn't eat. It was pork and certain fish in the sea they couldn't eat, and insects and all kinds of dietary laws. And today we don't have that. But why? There was a vertical truth. And there's horizontal truths. But there's vertical truths too, and we'll find some of those. And the reason that we go in to rightly divide the word is to see where do I fit and what verses do I take and what verses don't I take. I take the entire whole Bible. This is the Word of God, and the sword of the Spirit it's called. And I hold this very dear to me because I base my eternal destiny on this book, the words in this book, because they're written by God. And you ought to too. And hopefully that you'll gain some understanding from this study. And as we go on now, in the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of your Bible, if you have a Bible, follow along. The fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 28. And it says there's more instructions from God. In verse 1, it said, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all the nations of the earth." Here it is again. All the nations of the earth are the Gentiles, and they were not esteemed the same as the nation of Israel was. He says, if you follow my laws and my commandments, I will make you above the rest of the nations. And it goes on to say in verse 2, "And that all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field." "Blessed shalt thou be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and thy flocks, and the sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket." And it goes on with blessings for 14 verses. But then, the thing that I want you to see there is under this covenant of the Old Testament, there was something called if-then, and I'm looking for a place to put it. I'll put it right up here. If-then. If you do my commandments and my statutes and obey my voice, then I will bless you, the Lord said. It was a conditional promise. If they did, then they got the blessings. If they didn't, look at verse 15. "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to obey, to do all his commandments and his statutes which I commanded thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field," and so on. It goes all the way down. But all these curses would come upon the nation of Israel if they did not obey God's voice and did not obey the things that he commanded. We saw back in Exodus chapter 19 and 20, the covenants and the commandments that God instructed. And we've skipped over many of them also, but they're in there. But they had to do something. Israel had to do something. One more word, and I won't make any more in here on this side. Israel had to do something under this covenant, and it was called the Old Covenant. Turn with me to Jeremiah 31, verse 31, and we'll see something that talks about the New Covenant. Jeremiah 31, Jeremiah, there it is, 31. 31, okay. And it says there, Jeremiah, by the way, is also of the nation of Israel. He's a prophet. And this says in 31, says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord." This is not talking about the day Jeremiah is in. He says, "Behold, the days will come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of," here it is, "Israel, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. So what happened was, is Jeremiah is prophesying the word of the Lord. The Lord talked to Jeremiah, and he says, tell these words to the nation of Israel. So he did. And he says, I'm going to make a new covenant with the nation of Israel, and I'm just going to do this here. That would be the New Testament. And he says, I'm going to make a new testament or a new covenant with the house of Israel. He didn't say with the Gentiles or with the nations. This is to Israel. And what he goes on to say, he says, not according to the law, the old covenant that I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage. That's not the same covenant that he's making with them. Let's see why. It says, verse 33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall no more, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more, saith the Lord. The New Testament, God says, I will do. He says, I will put my laws within their hearts, and I will put my law in their inward parts and write it on their hearts. That's what God will do at that time. Here's the New Testament. And what happens, it says, after those days, saith the Lord. So there will be a time here when Israel will receive. I'm going to do this. I really did a bad job of starting this chart up here. I got carried away with my letters. But the New Testament here, it says that this is not like the covenant that he did in old days, in the Old Testament here, what he did with the fathers of Israel. Luke chapter 22. Now we're going to go ahead in time. This was prophecy. Prophecy and mystery are the major divisions in your Bible, and we're going to get just a touch of it. Maybe next week we're going to get the rest of it. But Luke chapter 22 says this in verse 20. Start in verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. So what happens is, here's the Lord's Supper before he went to the cross. And he says, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. So what's confirming the New Testament is the death of Jesus Christ. We've got this all out of whack here. The cross needs to be over here. He says, in my blood. What happens is, it's a New Testament. If you make out a will and testament, it's not in effect until that person, until you die. Your goods and your money or your household is not passed out until after your death. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 verse 16, it says the testament is in effect after the death of the testator. So the New Testament didn't actually begin fully until Jesus Christ died on the cross. The beginnings, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, being four accounts that begin the New Testament, the Old Testament was up to the book of Malachi. And as we get into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these begin the New Testament, but it's not actual New Testament until the death of Jesus Christ. Let me read you that verse out of the book of Hebrews. Place in Hebrews chapter 9 and 16 says, for where a testament is, there must also be of the necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is no strength at all while the testator liveth. And what happens here now is Jesus Christ proclaims he is the minister of the New Testament in his blood. It'll take effect after he dies. The book of Hebrews in chapter 8 begins to say in verse 6, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much more he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. The Lord now has ordained, and he is the minister of a new testament, which is on better promises. Not like the Old Testament promises, but the New Testament promises that Jesus Christ has made with the nation of Israel, that God has made with the nation of Israel. But the thing that I wanted to show you, that we're not fully to there yet, But it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says we are the ministers of the New Testament of the Spirit, but not of the law. Let me get there. The whole point of this study is, where do we fit in to the Old Testament, New Testament? Briefly, we saw that the Old Testament was done away in Christ at the cross because he began the New Testament and he had better promises and better covenants. And what happens is, we're in a time now today that God has stopped even the New Testament progress, and we are ministers, and it says in 2 Corinthians 3, who has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And we don't have enough time to go through the rest of this, but maybe we'll pick up here next week. So you make sure you stay tuned with pencil and paper and with your Bible. The thing that we need to know is, if I had to know how to get my sins forgiven and how to walk before God, a holy God, today, and how to fear him today, what part of this Bible do I go to? Do I go back here and start offering animal sacrifices? Do I take Abraham's instructions and begin to get circumcised in my family and follow the law? And, you know, do I follow all these things that Israel had? They had washings, they built a temple. Do I do these? And if not, why? The instructions come from your Bible, and we can pick that up, like I said, next week. And the thing that I'd want to know is how to get my sins forgiven. And it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible talks about, in the time segment we're in today, is called the mystery, and that's not even shown here. On here, we can talk about that next time. But Paul over there says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Won't you believe in Jesus Christ now and be saved?
Thank you for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we hope this program has been enlightening to you. Our desire is to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 810-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 810-778-5032. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this same time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe.